Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, joined on the phone by Jason Nathanson from ABC News to talk some entertainment with us. Jason, everyone in Hollywood, everyone in the country, everyone in the world is still reeling over the last few minutes of the Academy Awards presentation on Sunday night. Anything new? Do we know anything now that we didn't know the last few days?
Well, Moonlight's still the winner.
It still is. All right.
That has not changed.
Good.
They did not give it to Hidden Figures. No other movie at this point. No, I mean, we're still... The Academy... PricewaterhouseCoopers, they took full responsibility for everything. And it's this guy, Kulinian. I forget what his name is.
Is he still employed?
He's still employed. Look, he's a manager. He's like a bigwig with the company. So I don't know that he's necessarily going to be fired. This is what I think. If PricewaterhouseCoopers loses the Oscar contract, then he gets fired.
Sure.
If that doesn't happen, he gets reassigned. He never does the Oscars again. I can guarantee, either way, this guy's never handing out envelopes at the Oscars.
Have they apologized to Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway?
He wants that. Warren Beatty said yesterday, I want the Academy to apologize publicly.
They should.
Yeah.
Well, he wants the Academy to apologize. PricewaterhouseCoopers has apologized now twice. So, I mean, I don't know what more the Academy can do. It wasn't really the Academy's fault. I guess it's their show, so they take ultimate responsibility, but it's not really their fault. So if he's looking for apologies, I mean, I think he got them already. It's kind of time to move on. And he's not the one who was really harmed here. I mean, sure, it was a gaffe. But most people know it's not his fault, that he didn't do anything wrong and that he's not being painted with that. So,
well, now they do, but at first a lot of people, and Bill, you're one of them, who thought he was just doing that like kind of old man trick where it's like, I've got the answer, I'm going to stall, I'm going to do some crazy things.
Yeah. Yep.
Sure. And he explained that immediately that night.
Right.
And, you know, in the hours after that, we came to realize exactly what happened. So, you know, I don't think this is going to ruin Warren Beatty's career. Let's put it that way. I think he's okay.
Yeah.
So I think it's time to start moving on and start the healing in this country, right?
Amen. So true, Jason. I guess one of the other big controversies is Casey Affleck won Best Actor for Manchester by the Sea, which didn't sit very well with everybody, correct?
No. Yeah, a lot of people not happy about that. A lot of people trying to look at... Brie Larson was the one who presented him with that. Of course, she won last year for Room. And a lot of people are trying to read in as much as possible to her expression. You know, she wasn't clapping at this point. She wasn't doing that. And poor Brie Larson has had to give him the award every time. And this is all... The controversy is over the fact that Casey Affleck might be a sexual harasser or might not be. We don't really know. He was accused of sexual harassment by two women several years ago, and, you know, the complaints are not good. They don't paint him in the best light. He's denied the allegations, and there were civil lawsuits filed against him. Those were settled out of court, and part of those settlements is that nobody can really talk about what happened. So a lot of people thought this started coming up again, and a lot of women said, you know, this is not right. We should not be honoring men who have these kinds of pasts. It normalizes it. You know, it's not good for women, things like that. So there was a groundswell to not give him the Oscar. Of course, he gets the Oscar. A lot of people then unhappy on Twitter and social media in the hours following that. So he was asked about that by the Boston Globe. This is his first interview after that night, actually asked about the backlash and what he's seeing about that. And he said they asked him about it, and he apparently took a big, long pause and a big sigh. And he said both sides in the case are prohibited from commenting on the matter, and none of the people who are condemning him online know what happened. He says, I believe that any kind of mistreatment of anyone for any reason is unacceptable and abhorrent, and everyone deserves to be treated with respect in the workplace and elsewhere. The women who had sued were over workplace sexual harassment.
Yeah.
They were assistants of his. And then he adds at the end, though, there's really nothing I can do about it other than live my life the way I know I live it, and speak to what my own values are and how I try to live by them all the time, whatever that means.
Well, think about it, okay? I mean, if he did do it and was found guilty, everybody has a right to treat him as a pariah. But he was not found guilty. We don't know if it's true. I keep thinking, putting myself in that position, what if I was accused of something I didn't do? You're not going to change anybody else's mind.
But wouldn't you, if you were accused of something you didn't do, wouldn't you want to fight it in court and not settle out of court? I would.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the conversation that happens all the time.
That's true.
Right? You look at Michael Jackson. he settled things out of court, but, you know, maintained until he died that he did not actually, you know, molest any kids or there was nothing sexual going on with young kids at Neverland Ranch. But, again, then people say, well, you never settled those things. Then on the other side of that, there are people who say there are people who are going to come out of the woodwork when you're rich and famous, and they're going to sue you for everything. And the best way to get out of some of these things is just settle. You don't want it to drag on for so long. And then you look at Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Who settled, you know, his cases, and then, you know, 50 years later, 50 women came forward.
Jeez.
So it's complicated. It really is complicated. But a lot of women are upset that this kind of behavior gets normalized, and there's a racial component to it. Because you have a guy like the director, Nate Parker, who's the director of The Birth of a Nation, which is the film that was supposed to be the Oscar frontrunner last year and got completely derailed because he was accused of rape. He was cleared on charges in criminal court, but that still came back to haunt him. And he was black. Casey Affleck is white.
So what do you think the future holds for Casey Affleck? He's been a credible actor for years. Now he wins the Academy Award as Best Actor, which normally is the fast lane to bigger and better things. But now he's got this cloud hanging over him. So what happens next, do you think?
Does he have a cloud hanging over him? I mean, he had a cloud hanging over him during award season, and he won the Oscar for Best Actor. So I think that that's okay. And then you add on to this, in the whole controversy and the normalizing of this behavior and whether that happens or not, look at Mel Gibson, who just a couple of years ago was spewing horrible things on tape towards his ex-wife at the time, or was his wife at the time. I mean, just really vile things that he was saying. And then, you know, 8 years later, he's nominated for Best Director, his movie wins 2 Oscars, and he's allowed back into the circle. So I think what happens for Casey Affleck, I think he gets better parts from here on in.
That's interesting.
It is. But you can understand there's been several groups who have used the example you just used, Jason, of Mel Gibson and then Casey Affleck saying, where's the fairness in all this? You got two guys that have allegedly done horrible things to women, so how is this fair to us? It's not.
Sure. I mean, and I think that's going to every movie now that Casey Affleck makes, I think that there's going to be a little bit of that. I think there might be some producers in Hollywood who might say they don't want to work with him. They don't want that stink on their movie. Or there are some that are going to stand up. I think one of the guys, he was an actor on The Office and a writer, B.J. Novak.
Yeah.
Right.
He stood up and said, you know, this is crazy. You know, so people are going to stand up, but when you have a guy who won an Oscar and seems, I mean, that's validation. That's validation from his peers. That's validation from the industry. You know, he's not a big budget guy, so they're not going to put him in a Batman movie. He's not going to be in a movie with a lot of money writing on it necessarily. But if you're looking for prestige and you want a good actor, you know, some directors might want to cast him. I mean, look at Roman Polanski.
Right.
Roman Polanski is still working. You know, he's still winning Oscars years later after admitting to raping a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
So in this industry, your work speaks for itself, you know, and time heals all wounds.
And Casey Affleck can't be Batman because his brother is already Batman.
That is true. So he could be Robin, I guess.
Yeah.
That would be funny.
He could be Batman's brother. You never hear about Batman's brother.
What would his name be? Batboy?
Wayne.
Right. Wayne, you know, Wayne.
Wayne.
Okay, we're talking to Jason Nathanson from ABC, and Joe wanted to jump in with a comment about the Casey Affleck. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Wendy. Hey, I was just, you know, we're getting all wrapped up about what Casey Affleck may or may not have done. He wasn't nominated for Man of the Year. He was nominated for Best Actor, and that's what he should be judged at.
I mean, yes, that's...
I kind of agree with that.
That's ultimately how he was judged. But again, this is a huge stage, and you are, you know, like it or not, Hollywood influences kids, it influences culture, it influences a lot of things, and who we choose to celebrate is part of that. So some people would, you know, there's two sides to this. Some people would say you're choosing to celebrate a guy who's not a good guy and does not deserve to have a special place in this industry. And others say,
but you're not celebrating him as a good guy. You're celebrating him as a good actor, and he's recognized that by his peers in the Academy. But anyway, it's not a Father of the Year or Best Man of the Year. What he's being celebrated for.
I would still have a hard time, Joe, applauding for or rooting for a guy that I knew was involved. I'll give you a quick example. Aroldis Chapman of the Cubs last year was involved in some domestic abuse cases. There wasn't a single time last year, as much as I love the Cubs and wanted them to win the World Series, I didn't applaud for him. I didn't cheer for him. I don't like him. I'm glad he's gone.
Was he found guilty of these?
Settled out of court.
Okay, but that's not admitting guilt.
Exactly.
I mean, if it is, you know, I don't know. And Jason, as you pointed out, we don't know. We're not big celebrities like that where sometimes you just want to make it go away. I just know if I was committed of some crime that I didn't commit, if I was convicted of or accused of, I would sit there every day going, I didn't do it. What do I have to do
Fight
to show
it.
You
yeah.
I didn't do it?
Yeah.
Well, and it goes to the heart of it. Yes, we're not celebrating him for Man of the Year, Father of the Year, or Employer of the Year even, but there's something that goes to the heart of who gets roles in Hollywood. And these people who are accused of things or did things, let's say he did it and people knew that he has this reputation.
Yeah.
These people are then being paid to and given high-profile roles that other actors are not given the chance to get, and they're also trying to make money on. When you make a movie, you're hoping that you're going to make money. You don't try to lose money. So you're picking somebody who has some kind of box office cachet or that people are going to go see. So if there's a cloud around that person and people aren't going to go see them, you're not going to pick them. They're not going to make money.
That's but a good point. Joe, we got to run.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
Great show.
Thank you. Jason, not you. Are you good? Can you hang on for a second and we'll wrap up with you?
Absolutely.
All right. Cool.
Jason Nathanson from ABC News. We're talking entertainment. We'll be back in a minute. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You've been really working on your vocal lessons.
Well, thank you, Wendy. I'm glad you noticed that. Jason Nathanson joins us from ABC News. There's a new version of Beauty and the Beast coming out, a live-action version based on the cartoons, because that's what Disney does now is they take cartoons and they make live-action versions or the opposite. They just do one or the other. It's really ingenious. But this version is interesting for a new kind of way. Jason, please explain.
This is Beauty and the Beast, and it's coming out in a couple of weeks, so we're getting our first kind of glimpses at it. The cast is on a massive press tour. They were in Shanghai yesterday. They're going to be in Hollywood tomorrow night for the premiere. And one of the things that's come out about the movie in an interview with Attitude Magazine, director Bill Condon, said LaFoe, which is a character played by Josh Gad, he's Gaston's sidekick, and he said that LaFoe is somebody who one day wants to be Gaston and the other day wants to kiss Gaston.
Oh.
So saying that LaFoe is probably gay, he doesn't come right out and say that. But if that's true, this would be the first gay character from Disney. And then he elaborated a little more and says the film will go further than that with, quote, a nice exclusively gay moment.
Oh.
Now, this is a kid's movie, so I'm not sure exactly what that means. Maybe a kiss, maybe, you know, something like that. Nothing dirty, whatever you're thinking out there. But this would be, you know, this is a first for Disney, who have had, I mean, character after character after character that was assumed to be gay.
Mr. Smee.
Yeah.
Who was that from?
From Peter Pan.
He was?
I think so, yeah.
And I think some have said Tinkerbell also
maybe.
From the movie was maybe a lesbian. Ursula from Little Mermaid was based on drag queen. So, I mean, you had that kind of imagery, but it's never been necessarily overt. So this would be the first one that was overt. And so we're going to have the premiere tomorrow in Hollywood. And so I will be asking people about that and we'll get some more definitive answers.
I cannot wait to see the reaction because this is just my own opinion, but kids don't care.
I don't think they do.
It's like the people who are older kids see this more frequently than we did when we were growing up. So I don't think there's going to be an issue.
I'll tell you this much. Kids don't care who are straight. Kids who are gay, that means a lot to them. To see somebody who is like them represented in this industry of entertainment, which doesn't represent them at all. So if you have a little kid who, you know, and they say for a lot of kids, they know very, very early on that they're gay. So to see somebody who represents them on the screen, who is like them on the screen, doesn't make it weird to be like them. And for other kids to see something like that and for that to become normalized, I think would help a lot of kids who are gay.
And Jason, Disney is one of the most gay-friendly, not just movie companies, but gay-friendly companies in America. I mean, they're extremely as friendly as can be, right?
Absolutely. very early on with benefits for partners, with encouraging that environment and hiring people in all sorts of different places, from engineering of the parks to the creative process of the movies, has long been very, very gay friendly. And to, I mean, to opening up the parks in Disneyland to have gay days at Disneyland and Disney World, and that's long been a thing. So it's interesting that it's taken this long. And you're right. I think for a kids movie, there's no, like, to bring in, some would say, you know, that's bringing in a certain kind of sexuality that may not be necessary. But in all the movies, the guys and the girls are kissing. The princesses and the princesses are kissing, you know. So, you know, why not have a little bit of that?
Even in ABC, for people who don't know, is owned by Disney. ABC on Once Upon a Time, their TV show, some of the Disney princesses in that are gay, aren't they?
You know, that's a good question.
How often do you watch that, Bill?
I've never seen it, but I've read about it, that they've made a couple of the characters on that show gay that haven't traditionally been.
I don't know. I know this would be the first in the movies. I know, I think they have a Frozen character on that, and a lot of people have said, I don't know which one. I think it's Elsa that they say is a lesbian. I actually asked one of the heads of Disney Animation about that last year, because there was a rumor that in Frozen 2 that she is actually going to be a lesbian or have a female love interest. And they said, you know, interesting. They haven't decided on anything about that yet.
How about that? Well, Jason, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us. Big stories coming out of Hollywood, so thanks so much.
Absolutely, anytime.
Thank you.
That's Jason Nathanson from ABC News.
I like him.
He's a good guy. Isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy. Oh, you know who's coming by? Or actually, we're talking to him on the phone. Is Doc Emmerich, our friend Doc Emmerich.
I can't wait.
Who is one of hockey's best. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.